Namaste. I was just having a moment before we began this session because I couldn't quite get my cushions right. Something that would have been disastrous before, as we were saying. And now it's just kind of comical. And it's not a big deal, of course, but yeah, it's good to make sure you're comfy when we're sitting for a while. So, okay, so we're gonna have a satsang in this session. And if you have anything that you want to ask or to, about the inquiry, about the meditation, about the awakening itself, anything that you want to go into more detail with, or if you want to share something, you're more than welcome to. See, Caroline's waiting already. Just to say, in case everyone doesn't know, that if you want to raise your hand, just to click on participants at the bottom of the screen. And this is a bit I always forget. Scroll to the bottom of the participants section and click on raise hand, and it'll come up with a little blue hand. Yay, I did it. Okay, Caroline, when you're ready.
Hi Helen, can you hear me?
I can. Thank you. How are you?
Okay, yeah. Well, I was a bit rocked last night. When you were doing the self-inquiry with Sergio and you got quite to the end of it, I was with it, and at some point I realized that there was no person. Then I realized there was no body. And then after that came this weird thing where I suddenly had the seeing that there was just lots of bodies. So they didn't look like bodies, but there was just a scene of lots of bodies coming and going really fast. And that was it. And in that moment, I knew that, what did I know? I've gone over this so many times because it's kept me awake during the night. That was all of them. And that was it. But with that has come sort of a bit of a, I don't know, I can't find the words now. Almost like, I think something's dropped away, but I don't know what it is really.
Do you
I
need
was a bit stunned. I was a bit stunned, and I had that, and then straight after that, he said, "I want to ask you a question to Sergio," but then he said, "I'm not going to ask that," and I knew it was that one. It
You're gonna
was
ask me what I was
clear.
gonna ask now, and I can't remember. So there
You
you
said to him, "Are you just in one body? Is your location in one body?" So that developed it a bit further. So from there, just everything's changed really.
go.
Then today, there's just sort of, there's something a bit agitated with the meditation. There's still a sense of something agitated, but I asked the question, is it really true that this can be overwhelming? So it settled again. But since then, it's like nothing bothers me. Like there was something worrying me. I can't even imagine why that would worry me at all. So I'm wondering if is my body just a sensation? I keep looking at it.
That'd be a good place to investigate, right?
Yeah.
So you had a seeing that you don't have a body, you said yesterday, with something like that. You said it isn't a
Yeah,
body.
you asked the question, something, and I said, you said, is there a person here? I said, and inside, no. And there was no body. And then all these other bodies just showed up, like, but they were coming and going so fast. It was a bit shocking.
So, if you've had a seeing that there isn't really a body in the way that perhaps we imagined before. That's a game changer, isn't it? Because everything that we feel is happening to us is based in this body, isn't it? And my thoughts, my emotions, even the conversation we're having now seems to be between these two bodies. And with the sense that I'm here and you're over there, and you know, for you it's reversed, obviously. But if you're ever seeing that the body isn't what we think it is, then everything is kind of different then, isn't it?
Yeah.
Everything changes. What changes then? Can you explore that a little bit?
Just that who I really am. I mean, it developed a little bit before lunch that I could just see me. See the cat, not me, the Caroline, the personality, and the body as some sort of sensation. But I was, I'm just everything, just so big.
And can you actually experience your body right now? Can you tell me anything about your body except for, actually, let me phrase that differently. You can only tell me things that you're perceiving, you're aware of your body when it's touching something else, or when it's looking at something else, or when it's eating something. Without any sense perception, there is no awareness of the body. You know, and that is a strange thing to say, but nonetheless, it's true. So right now, I wouldn't know much about my body except the fact it's making contact with what I'm sitting on. Unless it's in pain or it's hungry or there's some energy moving or an emotion or something like that. The sense of the body just begins to evaporate, doesn't it? To diminish, and it can become clearer. Not the body itself, but the sense that the body is a real solid thing, an actual real thing. It's not as... it's not what we think it is it, you know? But what happens when you ask this question, what is my body? What actually is it? Is there something should hopefully come out of that? Have you tried to ask that one?
Not recently.
Momentarily at first, it will become clear that I don't have a body.
Yeah.
Hugely accepted myth that we all take for granted. Excuse me. But if I had a body, then that's two things present. You know, something, there's me and then there's the body that belongs to me. Same with my mind, same with my emotions. And with sense of a body comes thoughts and emotions and experiencing. And when there's a seeing, even for a second, that this isn't at all what I thought it was, and that maybe my idea that it's a solid, real body has made me experience it as such, then you begin to lose your location, don't you? You begin to lose your ability to reference where you are and what's happening to you, because everything is dependent upon the body. You know, if I asked you, where are you in your awakening, you'd probably reference the body and what's going on in the body to explain that. All your relationships are based on one body and, you know, interacting with another. And the moment this idea begins to fall away, even just for a second, that I don't have a body, that maybe this is not actually a body, maybe the body is a concept up here only, then we're open to something quite wonderful, to see that, well, if my body isn't at all what I think it is, what are all the rest of them as well then? And then all the idea of all the forms begins to be a little bit in question then. It is not a body, but it is reality, it is the self, isn't it? It is the noumenon. So it's real in that sense, but it's not a separate body as like I thought it was, that was born and is going to die at some point. That's not really true after that seeing, is it, anymore?
No, that's what happened. I couldn't find my location before lunch, that my location was in the body. It felt like it's the most real it's ever felt, that it wasn't in the body. The body's just a sensation, really. Just a sensation of my heart going fast, I'm tingling. But the thoughts are telling me that.
Yeah. And without the body, is there any thoughts and any suffering? And
no.
Any thoughts are happening in the body, and the body is not at all what we think it is. Maybe the thoughts are just as insubstantial also.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're left without a location, aren't you? You're left without anywhere to camp out.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
Not to really know where I am.
And is that a bad thing?
No, it's great. I just need to stay here, Helen.
Well,
it needs to be a staying here now.
What can cause you to not be, do you even need to stay here?
Well, I keep going back to believing the dream and getting involved in the dream, knowing it's a dream.
Is that you?
No, there's no person here. There's just, I have no location a lot of the time, but some of the time I do, and I fall into just believing it. But that was before this. This might have changed it a bit.
So if you have, look, do you know where you are right now? Can you say? So when you do imagine that you do know where you are, that you do have a location, when you take a relative position in time and space and say, that's where I am, is it true then still that you have a location? Even when you're dreaming it or imagining it, is it real?
No, it's just a sensation. It just...
A sensation happening in a body.
Yeah.
Is that anything to do with you?
Sometimes it feels like it has. Sometimes I can look at other people and not be sure where I am. And are the other people?
Yeah, if the body isn't what we think it is, and we don't really have a location, meaning recognizing that vast expanse of consciousness more and more, that isn't located anywhere in particular. It can't just be over here. It can't just be over there. It can't be separated. Can't be divided. Then are there any other beings? Or are there any forms, actually, if this is everywhere?
No.
Can there be anything other than it?
No.
Or is it just really good at looking like a body?
It is.
A mountain or a, you know, fill in the blank. So does it matter then if for a moment you imagine that you do have a body again and that you are in a relationship or you are on the journey to wake up? Has anything actually happened to that vastness in that imagination?
No.
Or is that even that imagination happening inside the form? Can you dream illusion again without thoughts and without the sense of opposites that come with a body?
Sorry, can you say that again? It all went a bit blurry then.
You'll find that some resistance comes up when we talk about this.
Yeah, say it again.
The last place we hold on is that I'm the one that's going back into the dream and I need to stop doing that. Right? That's what we hold on. But what actually happens when you fall in, when you believe you have a location again? Is that happening to the vastness?
No.
Is it one that's coming in and out of the illusion, even? Some thoughts appear in a head that's appearing in something that looks like a body in the middle of this vast consciousness. And there's a sense of dreaming again, but what if that is also just going on spontaneously and it's nothing you need to do anything about? And you kind of have to end up just relaxing a little bit when that happens, that this really isn't also my issue. I'm just gonna what is happening to that expanse of your being? What is actually occurring? Can it dream? Can it wake up? Is it changing at all? Could it ever be in a particular place only? Was it ever actually in a location? Does it matter at all, the thoughts that are going on inside the head in that way?
No.
It's utter freedom what we're talking about here, isn't it? To recognize I've never been the one caught ever. All of the suffering, the identification and the coming out of it, is happening inside the form. Can you believe that you have a location and then see that you don't have a location without a body? There's just stuff to poke at here, just to kind of poke at your ability to feel that you're the one going back into the dream.
I'm just very spacious. There's not anything going on, really.
Can they ever be in there, in that spaciousness?
No.
Did it ever fall asleep?
No.
Did it fall from grace?
No.
Was it ever separate? Can it believe in illusion, even? This is the one right there, isn't it? That's the one right there.
Yeah.
You're about 50% there, I think, right? Something like that.
I'm trying to process the questions. It's like my mind's very quiet. Well, if I have a mind, but...
Something to spend some time with is just to look at it, because you feel like this now, and then maybe later there's some thoughts pop up that are given attention, and there's a sense of contraction again, and a sense I'm back in illusion again, I want to come out of it. But is that actually true?
No, it's not true. It's absolutely not true.
So when that happens next time, are you going to agree that it's your issue?
No. I can never understand why I do agree with it, because I absolutely know.
Only that it needs to be seen again a few more times, right? Mm-hmm. Nothing is happening at all to that vast silence. Nothing. It's like saying the sky is having an argument with the clouds that are appearing in it, or that the space in this room is feeling put out by the objects in it, or something like that. It's just not so, is it?
No.
It just needs to be seen again and again. Have I even done this waking up thing, even? Or is that something that's only possible and only happening in the form itself? Yeah.
I can say that's ridiculous.
What's ridiculous?
That there's been a waking up. I just feel some of the delusion dropped away. I know what I am. I just know that my true nature. But I just keep believing that it can be affected, and it can't be affected by anything.
Is belief anything to do with you?
No, it's not.
Then why are you bothered when something believes something?
I don't know.
It's kind of an instruction, really, to look at. Why do I think still that believing a thought is happening to me, that I'm the believer? Let me see. What if, just spontaneously, a body arises in your vastness? A human body arises in the vastness and it gets called Caroline. And then at some point a thought arises in that brain, in that body, that says, I am this body. Okay. And then from there, a whole stream of thoughts come. I am a woman. I am English. I am all of that. And then eventually the thought arises, I'd like to know what I am. And then the next thought, after some time and some process, the next thought arises, I know what I am. And then another thought arises later saying, I've now forgotten again. And then later another thought arises saying, I've remembered again. And then another thought arises a little later that says, I need to stop forgetting.
I get it. Okay, yeah.
Meanwhile, the consciousness just kind of watches.
Yeah. Okay.
Just to sit with that for a little while, okay?
I will.
Very good. Very good. Exciting conversation. Thank you.
Thank you, Helen.
Okay, Savitur or Videya?
Hi, Helen.
Hiya, how are you doing?
Yeah, good. Yeah, I was investigating what we're talking about last night. With the light and that.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, just seeing that it's just so total, absolutely no separation. Even tonight, she'd gone, we had our dinner, and I was looking at the broccoli. And then chewing it, and then there was no difference. I didn't know, you know, what was chewing, if there was a chewing, all that just went away. And there was just like that sensation that Carolyn was talking about.
Mm-hmm.
It all just dissolved. There was just no, I couldn't tell the difference. And it gave me that sense of, you know, that saying that when I am everything, that is love. And when I am nothing, that is wisdom. And life flows between the two.
It's good that you think, right?
Yeah, but that nothing is its silent awareness that is just total. It was just that seeing that it's just so complete. So, yeah, it just didn't matter. Like even in the meditation we had previously, a tractor went up the road. And I couldn't separate. It was just not. It's just that one total.
Yeah. So you're sitting in meditation as a separate being, and you're starting to experience a nice state, and then this noisy tractor goes up the road. And immediately the thought arises, that's just disturbing my meditation. But without the sense of separation, there's no. There's no sense that it's over there, the tractor, and I'm here. And there's just the allness of it experienced in that moment, isn't there? That I could be the tractor, I could be this person trying to meditate, and I could be the room I'm sitting in, and all of that and none of that at the same time. You know, just this, even a simple thing of eating broccoli, we've always done it with this sense that I'm eating it. It's other than me. It's broccoli and I'm eating it. And we've missed the wonder of it, in a way, haven't we? That
yeah, it all dissolved into absolutely, I didn't know where I was or what I was. It was almost like I was the broccoli, I was the chewing, and then that just dissolved into just that essence, total essence. Even I was watching the leaves and the bud on the vine earlier today, and it's almost like, yeah, there was no location. The essence no sense of body. And again, the vine wasn't a vine. It was just all that total one essence again. And I don't even know if where my location wasn't even a my, where there wasn't any location, there wasn't any where to go. It was like nothing could subtract from it and nothing could add to it. I really sat with that, and you can't add to anything. It's so total, you can't subtract from it.
And even then, when a temporary sense of being someone somewhere is superimposed back on top of that, it doesn't really matter, does it? You know, you can still be that every awareness that has no location and also seem to be having this conversation with me, you know, but it's not actually how it is it, once it's seen? And then the temporary sense of being someone somewhere will be there as long as the body's there, and it's not getting in the way of that recognition. It's not, doesn't need to go away, you know, to experience your every awareness, to recognize that and live as that. You know, and as the sense of someone, it is necessary to while the body's there, and it's fine. It's just seeing it's not really an absolute thing, is it? It's just a sense.
Even that awareness. That what is that? You know, it's just the essence of, again, that sense. Well, yeah, it's just seem total, really. Even that's, you know, it's beyond all the words.
Lovely. Yeah. It will just be there more and more often like that. And in the end, not that there is an end, but you're kind of constant knowing is that I don't know where I am or what I am, and I'm absolutely happy. You know, you can ruin that from there.
Yeah.
Wonderful. Yeah. Thanks for sharing. Thank you. Okay, Ron.
Hello, Ron.
Hi, how are you doing?
Good, thanks. Yeah, my experience yesterday was a little different flavor than that. It was kind of interesting as I was going in from my back patio where I was doing most of this to the kitchen to grab something to eat. My daughter was watching a U.S. detective show that we've watched, rewatching it. We'd watched seasons of it in the past. And it was interesting because, you know, all I heard was, boy, that tune really sounds like an Irish tune to me. And I'd heard the intro to this program hundreds of times, you know, in the past. Hadn't picked up on that at all. It was almost like not paying attention brought something even more clearly forward that I'd been missing all along. It was just kind of odd. I had a couple other experiences like that too. It was that not being in a position where you're not really specific actually brings things into clearer view in a different way. It's a totally different sense. It was really, really interesting.
It's quite expansive. There's so much more going on than we're perceiving usually, isn't there? There's so much more available than we're perceiving. And when attention is open and focused on the awareness or the silence, there's so much more available. It costs us so much to kind of pay attention to something energetically. And that's all we know how to do, isn't it? It's like, but then when we realize there's another way to have the attention, a kind of an open spaciousness. And
it's so counterintuitive, at least from human conditioning perspective.
Pay attention to get it. Pay attention to this thing and you'll understand. Yeah.
Right? Don't pay attention. You'll really get it if you really don't pay attention. You know?
And we become Olympic gold medalists at paying attention, you know, and then we do that with the self. And then we've got, actually, it is quite paradoxical and comical that I can be more aware of everything that's going on by not being aware of anything in particular. And it's like, wow, that's so cool. And everything is different then. It's just a different way of living, isn't it? And you get a glimpse of it every now and again, and then it just starts to come more and more often. And
So I had a couple questions. I seem to have heard two slightly different recommendations on what to do when attention wanders to thought.
Yeah, probably contradicted myself about 100 times this weekend already.
One is gently bring it back to awareness, mm-hmm. Which kind of seems to be a shift from thought, because at least I find for myself, if I then shift to the awareness, that thought just kind of disappears. I'm just kind of shifted away from it. It just naturally happens. But also, it seems like a second recommendation was, just watch the thoughts, just let them be, let the thoughts be. So I guess I was, would you mind clarifying, or are these like two different suggestions? Are they two parts of the same? Have I misunderstood something?
Sometimes I'll say just let the phenomena arise, let everything be as it is. And then sometimes I'll say bring attention back to that which is real. And then, don't watch the phenomena. And then, like I just said, there aren't any phenomena anyway. So probably just pick whichever one resonates more with you.
Okay.
I mean, it's one of those where if I say, bring attention back to what's real and just notice the habit to look at phenomena, thoughts and stuff. Mm-hmm. If there's a lot of thoughts and a lot of noise going on, somebody might find it challenging to do that. Mm-hmm. To just kind of step out of it. So first we might just let everything arise as it is and just not try to, as you were saying, just not focusing on anything specific. So really it's just, they'll all take you to the same place. It's just really what resonates particularly inside each being.
Okay. And my second question is, it appears to me that kind of the key to all of this is the strength of the desire or earnestness as it relates to wanting to see what's real.
Yeah.
So any thoughts, suggestions, things that really work for you as far as stoking that fire, increasing that flame for that desire without resorting to having pain and suffering be the motivator? Something positively proactive.
Just doing whatever you can to remember that maybe we're not perceiving reality. But for me, most of the motivation was this intense suffering, and that fueled the desire. But there was a point where I just became obsessed with the question, what is reality? And I just had to find out. And it wasn't fueled by suffering anymore. There was still some suffering going on for a little while, but I wasn't needing that suffering to kind of keep me interested in it. So there was just something inside that got really kind of, I don't know, a little bit angry, a little bit frustrated that maybe I've never actually, well, like we were just saying, maybe there's been stuff that's been going on my entire life that I've never noticed, and I want to know if I'm going to be here for however many years in this, with this body, then I want to experience the fullness. I want it all. And that just kind of grew inside, to, and I just kind of tried to remember this contemplative question, what really is reality? Like maybe I've never, we all assumed out with it, what we're perceiving in the waking state is all there is really. That's the kind of common assumption. If I ask someone, and they've proved it with memory experiments, put you in a room and give you 15 seconds look at the room and then I take it out of the room and I ask you what color the curtains were, how many people could actually say. And yet we feel we've actually perceived all of what's going on in this moment. That's the assumption. When that really began to become clear that I've never done that, I've only, firstly to even look at an object, I'm excluding the rest of my visual field. And then if that object isn't really what I think it is, have I ever experienced reality? And have I ever actually experienced what is without my projections about what is? Have I experienced my thoughts about reality, or have I experienced reality? And I began to see I haven't ever really seen myself or what all this is. And I just got, the more I thought about that, I got a little angry, I suppose is the closest word. Like I want that actually. And that came as the desire then, that. So that's the more you see that you haven't really seen, the more this kind of, I want that too, and I used to listen to all the descriptions I could find, read all the descriptions I could find of what the awakened state was like, because that made me really jealous, and that was a motivator as well. You know, so that might help.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you.
You're very welcome. Sophie?
Hello, Helen.
Hiya, how are you doing?
I'm okay, thank you.
Excuse me.
Just wanted to connect and yeah, had a lot of resistance from the word go, really.
Retreat then.
Yeah. And actually before the retreat, I was almost like, right, that's it. 20 years, I'm throwing in the towel, you know, I'm just not getting it.
So. When I went to, you probably know, I went to a 5-day retreat, and I spent the first 24 hours like, what am I doing here? 5 days, this is just nuts. And my mind was just going absolutely crazy. I mean, absolutely bonkers. It was just, this is going to be the longest 5 days of my life, you know. It was just, and I'm thinking, what have I done here? You know, I'm in the middle of this place with all these people that are looking so spiritual, and there were people doing yoga on the lawn, you know, doing Pilates and like just doing these amazing things, and people sat so still that you know, they looked like a statue. And God, you know, and I'm just like grumpy and miserable and irritable and missing my own bed, and I just want a cup of tea, you know, a decent cup of tea. And after about 24 hours, it just kind of stopped, and it was like, and by the end of the 5 days, I didn't want to go home, you know. So I totally, it's like the moment you sign a dotted line for a retreat, mine goes, oh, actually, you know, maybe this isn't the best idea. Let's do something else instead this weekend.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's been all kind of good suffering for the, you know, a greater doorway and all that. And I have been sitting with the question amidst the contraction, just really letting it be and sitting with, is it true? I need to feel safe. And, but then earlier on this morning, I did feel some expansion and like just this real subtlety. It was so subtle. Mm-hmm. Which I know is what we're, you know, is what we're on about. So I'm very grateful for that, because sorry, my cat is trying to say hello. It's really exhausting, although, you know, it's just feeling stuck in the story of your life and everything. But again, it's that motivation to get out of it. Eventually something has to give that will, and it did. Last meditation, there was this relaxation into the spaciousness that everyone's talking about. I'm not saying I've never ever experienced it, but it's
experienced that subtly, isn't it? It's even less of a thing when you experience it, less and less kind of tangible. When we do a retreat, when we've held a retreat in person, we do, and we may do it some, you know, next time we do a virtual retreat, we pretty much start at 8 o'clock in the morning, and we go through at least till about 9 p.m. at night, you know, on the weekend. And a lot of the times there's talks and the satsangs like this, but the rest of them, guided meditation, the rest of them are silent sittings, you know. And I think I might have mentioned it yesterday, but after a couple of sessions of silent sitting and just sitting there for 40 minutes, so something explodes inside you, right? And then resists, you know, like really resists. And then at some point it just lets go. You know, there's that letting go that just happens. And then the truth is just, ever more subtly available, isn't it? It's I've seen it, but I've seen it deeper this time, or it's even more real this time, something, the subtlety of it, the fact that it's completely intangible, even, you know, it's not even a slight feeling, it's, you know, it just becomes clearer, doesn't it, as you fight the moment less and less and less, and then there's a point where the fighting just stops, meaning there might still be stories going on and emotions and energy shifting, but you just give up trying to do anything with it in that moment, either because you're too tired to be bothered anymore. And retreat is great at bringing that on, isn't it? Just like, I can't take any more meditation, man. I'm just like, I'm about up to here with it, you know? So.
I mean, you know, like even while I was speaking, there's this contraction in my body. And what is so hard is to somehow, you know, it's happening. So there's an awareness of it going on. So, and I always, you can't not be aware of it because that's a sensation in the body. So it's not like I'm trying to get rid of it, but there's just that awareness of it all the time. And so when I'm when I'm putting my attention on the noumenon, it feels like that's quite a doing as well. But what happened in this meditation last time was it just happened naturally. It wasn't trying to look or anything. It was just a subtlety of...
It just presented itself. I felt
like... Yeah, yeah.
That's what happened that day, and I was telling you about, you know, my perfect meditation that accidentally happened. It was just like that. Just gave up. It wasn't a doing at all. I gave up trying to meditate in that moment, and then meditation happened. Like, right, if this is it, if this is my meditation, then this is it. And there just wasn't any trying to do anything, you know, to to bring up this state or anything. It was just giving up completely.
Yeah, I think that's what really helped me when you spoke about everything is perfect, however it, you know, you started the retreat like that, just what you're saying now about how whatever is happening, whatever's arising is totally as it should be. And that was just a kind of relief to hear that, because there's so much kind of unconscious almost as well, judgment or criticism or, you know.
Everybody comes into a retreat like this with an idea, or even if it's not conscious, we've got this idea that as the weekend goes on, we're going to get more and more peaceful, more and more blissful. And usually it's the opposite, right? All this stuff just starts to come to the surface and you're like, I want my money back. This is not what I wanted, right? You know, but more and more there's just seeing that this can be happening. And it doesn't mean anything to my meditation. Well, my meditation, if I was peaceful and blissful, my meditation would just be to totally allow that. If I'm angry and irritated and restless or crying or laughing, my meditation is just to be with that completely. Naturally, then you would just become aware of that spacious background that is just completely being with whatever phenomena are arising, you know, good, bad and ugly. Naturally, that just presents itself in the lack of this strenuous efforting to try to change our experience that we're all doing.
Yeah, that was really helpful. And that, and just that's how to allow it to be, is that just knowing that everything is arising is totally meant to be arising.
Yeah.
So there's nothing going wrong.
And there can never be. There can never be anything going wrong, ever. No, there's no one that can screw up an awakening, which is really good news. No separate being in that way. And then when the contraction is happening, even, it has no meaning for you. It's just something that's happening in the body. It's just another sensation. It's honored like everything else. And it doesn't have the meaning that you're doing it wrong, or that you're not waking up properly, or all those other meanings that we put to it. You know, it means I'm not there yet. It means I'm not good enough. I'm pretty sure nobody else on the retreat is experiencing this. You know, where probably everybody else is. It's just how much we've come to be able to just say, this is just what is. Right? It doesn't make any difference to me, the beingness, if my body is deeply disturbed, my mind is deeply active, or if it's sitting very quietly just enjoying the peace. It doesn't make a difference to the beingness, and the beingness doesn't prefer either one of those, does it? And we take that stance. We can actually take that stance, can't we? What's happening in my meditation may look like a train wreck, but it's just as successful meditation as if there's ecstasy and joy and all of that. And then peace is there. Whatever's going on in the mind and body, peace is available. You know, so that's the key. And we tend to stumble upon that accidentally, where we just, for me, I was just too exhausted to fight, to try to keep changing my experience. Because I realized that doesn't work anyway. I just abandon all attempt to, in a moment of exhaustion, to do anything with what was happening. And it just began to sort itself out, you know, on its own. And it was hastened by not giving it any meaning anymore. Maybe the retreat is the place we come to have this stuff explode and leave. You know, and if not here, then where? You know, it's the whole retreating away from trying to control and manipulate all the time, and to accept whatever I'm feeling right now is exactly what I'm supposed to be feeling. I mean, no problem when bliss is there, do we, or peace? You know, we go, yeah, I'm absolutely experiencing what I'm supposed to be experiencing. When there's guilt or real sadness or grief, we all say this is not what should be. You know, so it's just kind of, what's life like when I can't do that to myself anymore? Like, what's the most unspiritual moment I can have, and can I allow myself that? You know, and it's probably going to happen in retreat when we've been meditating so much. Yeah,
that's so healing to hear that. That just heals something really deep, because, yeah. And but then there's like, why am I doing this if everything's okay? If I can be at any moment, everything's already perfectly okay. Why am I giving myself such a hard time trying to fight, awaken?
Just what we've been conditioned to do, isn't it? To push hard against everything and to try hard to get to something.
Yeah.
And then we try to do that with awakening, and we, you know, about 22 years of that, and I realized it doesn't actually work that well, you know.
Yeah.
And there's just an opening and relaxing, and the more you relax, the more you experience what's real, and the more you experience what's real, the body relaxes a bit more, and it gets faster and faster, then break through a bit more and a bit more. And, you know, it's you just be like the self, in that the self would never say, could never say, this is not how it should be. I am not how I should be. What's your life like when you embrace that? When you lose the ability to should yourself? And that's results in complete authenticity, doesn't it? How I am right now is how I am. And I want to love myself completely, you know, by saying, I can't be anything other than this, nor do I need to be. I don't even need to worry about what's happening in the mind and body in that way. It will just sort itself out as I stop pushing so hard against it. Lovely.
Thank you.
Good sharing. Thank you.
Thank
you. Eileen?
Good morning. Well, good afternoon.
All of the above, right?
Exactly. Thank you so much. This has been a fabulous weekend. And I really want to thank everyone who participated and asked questions, because I don't know, I just ride with every question into clarity for that moment. So I really appreciate it, because I felt each one's question is within myself as well. I guess for me, what's been coming up, and I just finally decided to, raise my hand, is I've been working with, is it really true I don't need anything? Mm-hmm. And where this lands for me is it really true I don't need a mind body? Is it really true I don't need my mind or my body? And it's kind of been a little bit morbid, not morbid, but like I feel like, awareness somewhere is around my head somewhere, the seeing, the hearing, You know, I have the body, but so it often goes to, if your head's cut off, if you don't have a head anymore, Eileen, all right, so that's what, death. So you're dead. As far as like, so am I still aware? If I have no head and I'm dead, am I still aware? That's sort of been where I've been going. And I guess the closest I've gotten to that is deep sleep. How I go into deep sleep and I'm totally not aware. It's as if I don't have a head. I mean, to the sort of awake, illusion awake person. So I don't know, stop me at any moment. I'm just going to tell you where I'm going with this. So it's similar to deep sleep in that I don't really have any sort of, am I still here? Yes, but I don't have an awareness that I'm here because I don't have a sort of a mind body sense of it. So is it true I need a mind body to be aware? I come to the, no, I don't. I don't need a mind body to be aware. However,
right there then.
Yeah.
You said you don't need a mind and body to be aware.
Right.
Do you need a mind and body to be aware of something?
Yes, that was going to be my question was, do I need mind body to experience, is what came next, like to have experience. Do I need a mind body to have an experience? Is that what you were asking, sort of that same question?
Kind of, yeah. So yeah, let's go with that. That's a good one. So what did you get anything out of that one? Did you see?
Well, that to me, that came as a yes. So it was like, in order to experience, I need like the subject object. I need, like, in deep sleep or in total awareness, there's nothing and I need nothing in that. But to, I need a mind body to experience an other, I guess.
Me here. And then what I'm experiencing, the sense of division, the subject.
Exactly.
You said that's only possible with a body, isn't it, and a mind.
Right, yeah. Right. So is the purpose of the mind body, I don't know, where I've been going recently is that separation. Like that, the mind body creates the separation and I am not that. That is within me.
Doing great.
But, and here's where it's like, something says to me, but I don't want that mind body place. Like, I don't want, so is it saying I don't want experience? I want to rest in the sleep. Like, I was really relating to what you were saying yesterday, is that becomes more and more like deep sleep when you're awake, like it, you're just kind of sleeping in there. And that's where I want to be. And I feel like I'm more in mind-body experience.
Yeah, so there's an assumption with every human being until it isn't, that to have a body means the only way you can perceive then is through the sense of duality, through the subject-object division, that I'm here, you're in America, we're having a conversation, there's two of us. That's the only option, isn't it? That seems to be.
Right, that's what it feels
like. And then it seems that the absence of experience at first, we see that as void or annihilation, or if I'm not experiencing dualistically, I must be absent, non-existent, you know. So, but as we start to see actually in deep sleep or in the awakened state, for want of a better word, there's no dualistic experience. There's no you and me having this conversation. So it's really then, it becomes clear that even while the body's here, I don't have to keep experiencing.
Yes, it just came into me. It's just a different experience. I think I need to experience sort of through the mind body, but in truth, I can experience without feeling the sense of mind body, I guess. Is that?
Yeah, you can.
A little closer.
There's just you, and you're everywhere all the time. And then you pick up this body, and you look through it like a pair of binoculars, and you seem to see a world of division and separation and diversity.
Yes.
And you realize actually that's not really true. There isn't really a subject-object division. Me, the subject, the object I'm perceiving, experiencing.
Right.
And then it's your choice, then, isn't it, where to experience from for want of a better word, whether to experience in duality or to just be the awareness.
Okay, I like what you said. It's you pick up the glasses and then you realize that that's not true. My words have been that that's not what I want. You know what I mean? So it maybe that would be that just that shift in language, because it's almost like I'm resisting that.
Yeah, because there's this sense perhaps that while the body's here, I still have to keep experiencing through it.
Right.
But once you've seen the subject-object division isn't real,
okay,
it isn't real still even when it seems to be there.
Right.
But if I had to perceive you now as a separate being, if I imagined a division between you and me,
right,
I would feel awful. Right. All the joy would diminish and it would just dissipate. So first we have to kind of recognize the pure awareness, there is no division or separation or experiencing possible. Then we can kind of pick the body back up again and go, well, just because it seems to be that way through the senses doesn't mean it is actually. Right. And then you have that same experience as deep sleep where there isn't any division, but even while you're looking through the senses. And right now there seems to be two of us having this conversation or 25 people on here.
Right.
But it's just not so, is it? And it doesn't matter if it seems to be then.
Right.
Because there seems to be of it all. It has been seen through. It's not so, you know, and it's absolutely, okay, now I'm just seeing the different ways that I'm appearing, all the different unique ways, my expressions I have. And that's different to I'm here experiencing you over there and we're in relationship and there's a big fat wedge between us, you know, in terms of what we can experience. And
right. So you said, so then you realize you have a choice of where you sort of, so...
It's not really a choice then, is it? Because once you've seen what it's like to have no division, you want that. It's just not.
Yes. And I don't know if I guess I've seen that. I just feel like I keep, you know, I'm in this default setting that, you know, is sort of experiencing through the mind body. And I haven't had a lot of time in really truly experiencing that oneness outside of meditation.
So the good question then would be to take up this question, what is the mind and the body? As we were saying with Caroline, if we can come to understand that the mind and body isn't at all what we think it is, that it is that vastness condensed, then there'd be less and less sense that anything's different for me when I'm looking through the senses or when I'm sat in deep self-inquiry, experiencing formlessness. It doesn't make any difference now. I know what I'm seeing is the same. And you can do it one of two ways. You can investigate what the mind and body actually are.
Okay. Yeah, because I keep saying, is it true I need it? And I say, no, I don't need it. But then it kind of leaves me hanging.
There's still a sense, all right, I don't need it. But while it's here, it's diminishing my experience. That's the sense of it, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes, so exactly.
You can prove that's not true. That right now you can have the same experience, for want of a better phrase, because there isn't there isn't a word as you do in deep sleep. Right now, this sense is functioning in the middle of this conversation. If you just stop thinking that I'm separate to you, you'll be right back in that pure awareness where there's no division. So it's just a choice of, or you can say, okay, the thing that I feel separate to, what really is it? And when you investigate it, you find out what it actually is. And that is, it's all this vast consciousness. It's natural that when we perceive the vast emptiness even once, that we'll feel a slight resistance to kind of looking at all this again through the senses, because it'll feel different at first. It'll feel like I've lost, you have this beautiful experience in meditation and you open your eyes and there's all these other beings that you're irritated with and all that other stuff, you know. So just to prove nothing's actually changed when I'm looking through my senses. There still is nothing to be aware of when I'm looking through the senses. Seems to be, but it's not true. Nothing has actually changed, has it?
No. And I think, again, instead of trying to get rid of, do I really not need that? Like, be it gone, kind of working with that. What is it and how can I work with it to really expand what is real?
I just got kind of, once I got used to experiencing that, I wanted it all the time, which is totally natural, isn't it? And that's what's prompting this question.
Yeah.
So just that about proving that all of this is it too. That nothing's, it doesn't matter now when my eyes are open or closed, I'm going to have the same inner experience. Whether I'm arguing with someone or I'm sat here in deep meditation makes no difference. You know, and that's what you, what you, what, where the question is coming from. I don't want to see any difference with my eyes open either.
Right, exactly. I don't want to be, yeah. Okay, let me play with that. And I did relate a lot to when you were speaking with Caroline, so I will go back and listen to that as well.
Wonderful. Thank you. Very good, very good. We'll go with Karen. I'm just going to stop this recording and start it again. Whenever